Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. The post-election analysis continues. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday night, November 10th. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you from our flagship station in Memphis, going out to the AMFM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network. And you can get us online live with the simulcast or in the broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'm talking fast because I want to get directly to our first guest of this hour to offer his take on what we all witnessed unveiled on Tuesday night. Mr. Sam Bushman, the owner of Liberty News Radio Network, the network that syndicates our award-winning show, and also the host of the Monday through Friday talk show Liberty Roundtable. Sam, you know, you were quarterbacking this thing in advance. It always seemed to me that your knowledge was a step ahead. You said even before the debates started that they would say Romney ran away with the first one, that they both traded barbs in the second one, and that Obama was going to win the third one. You said that before even the first debate. That's how much you know about media manipulation. I think, well, a lifelong career in politics, you've got a good, keen sense. Did the election itself play out the way you thought, and what does it mean for us?
I think, James, it played out exactly as I expected it to.
I know, so you didn't think Romney was going to win?
Not a chance. Okay, number one, I happen to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints,
right?
So I'm not trashing on Mormons. But I'm telling you, they're not going to let a white Mormon become president. They're not going to do it, sir. Okay, number one, you're a male. Number two, you're white. Number three, you're a Mormon. Come on.
There is something to be said for that. Despite the fact that he was obviously a liberal, there is still that to consider.
So that's the first kind of issue, is I knew they're just not going to let that happen. Secondly, I do not believe that Romney is an insider. And I know many people might be shocked at that, but I'm convinced he's not an insider in the traditional sense.
Okay.
In other words, he is not knowingly, willingly trying to destroy the country. Now, no doubt he's naive. No doubt he's ignorant. No doubt he doesn't understand the supreme law of the land. He's so power hungry, he'll look the other way on just about everything. That's all true. But intentionally trying to sabotage, I don't think so. So he's got a lot of money. They'll let anybody with a lot of money play. They'll let them spend that money. They'll let them get a name. Look at Donald Trump, for example. People who have a lot of money, they'll let have their say because you can't really stop them. I mean, look, with his Bain Capital, they own a huge piece of some of the largest radio networks in the country.
Right.
So no doubt he's got a voice, he's got a say. The issue is how to control that voice, how to make sure that he has enough clout to be a clown in the media, so to speak, but not really be taken seriously. And that's what their goal was, and they knew full well that he would lose, but they let him play out the part and play it out well. And when I say play it out well, meaning, look, he managed to be the least valuable candidate. It was the candidate nobody wanted. It's kind of like, you know, Uncle Hiram down in the basement making beer and no one wants to know about it, right? When it's like crazy, where everybody was saying, no, not Romney, no, not Romney, no, not Romney. And lo and behold, everybody ended up with Romney.
Right.
He became the nominee, but nobody wanted him to be the nominee. How did that happen? And the answer is the elite knew full well letting him be the nominee would be a losing proposition, losing with his own party. And losing with anybody across party lines, meaning independents or Constitution Party or Libertarian parties, it was losing. So everyone said, look, it's the hold-your-nose candidate, but it's better than letting Satan get in office, meaning Satan they were thinking Obama would be. And that's just a losing proposition. I'm going to hold my nose for my candidate. I know he's not good, but it's a stop Satan vote. Well, you think that's going to win elections? You're dead wrong. It's not even a winning argument from the get-go, James.
Sam, I think you just summed it up right there. I think that was pretty much encapsulated the campaign of Mitt Romney. And you know what? A lot of people that support this show and a lot of people that I know that I consider to be great friends agree with you with regards to Romney being not being an insider. And I think you are on target there to a large degree.
All right. Now, I want to play a soundbite just really quick right before the election that I gave. I've been saying that Romney was going to lose and that Barack would win for months.
All right.
But I had a caller on, a very savvy gal, and it was the day before the election. Here's the soundbite.
I personally think, if you ask a gut check from Sam Bushman, I think that Romney would win if there wasn't vote fraud. But because of the vote fraud and vote manipulation, Barack's going to win, Doreen.
You think so?
Absolutely.
There it is. They've committed vote fraud to have Romney lose. They've done everything they can to divide and conquer the conservatives. Every single constitutionalist or conservative or whatever you want to call them had a different view. Some said, I'm giving up. I'm not voting. It's not worth my vote anymore. That's the libertarian idea. Some said, I'm voting for Romney and I'm holding my nose doing it, but I got to do it. It's better than Satan. Other people said, well, I'm voting for this candidate or that candidate as a protest vote. Some people said, I'm writing in Ron Paul. Others said, I'm writing in Ronald McDonald. Others said, you know, the conservatives were absolutely fractionalized to the point of no success, intentionally so. They divided and conquered, and they won.
All right, Sam, I got to say something, brother. You mentioned vote fraud, and typically I steer clear of so-called conspiracy things unless it's just outright. I mean, obviously the media is controlled and manipulated. That's not a conspiracy. You know what I'm talking about, kooky stuff. But get this, and this is a proven fact. Anybody can look at this and just figure it out. What I'm saying is true, and there's been articles written about it on the internet. Barack Obama lost in every state that has a photo ID law. Barack Obama lost in every state that had a photo ID law. Now, we all remember those lawsuits by Democrats demanding that any voter identification laws be repealed. Well, now maybe we know why we filed those.
Well, and many of them were even supposed to go into effect, but they were intentionally held off past the election by judges.
And you look at all these battleground states, these so-called swing states that Obama carried by 1 or 2%. In Florida, they don't have a voter ID law. Ohio doesn't have a voter ID law. They say Obama wins Florida by 0.6%. No voter ID law. You know, you got a lot of
illegal aliens in Florida. The point is, we're not doing a recount because it doesn't even matter. It's so close, but it doesn't matter because he lost anyway, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah, see, as long as you get enough states on the brink, we heard voter machines going out in the weeds. We heard people. We've got a video on the internet where the guy basically taps Romney and it shows that it selected Obama for him. And that's
I read that story. The field on the electronic voting machine dipped down to where if you touched just above Mitt Romney's name,
cigar.
It voted for Obama.
It was like a close but no cigar vote, if you will. The list goes on and on, though. Right before the elections, for example, another Democrat melted down, had to resign over vote fraud. The list just goes on and on. But look, the Republicans aren't going to do anything about vote fraud, James. You want to know why?
I believe I know, but you can tell
because they committed vote fraud against Ron Paul. So just because they got out vote fraud. Now, so here's the deal. You shut down Ron Paul, commit vote fraud. Then, you know, somebody's just better at vote fraud than you are. That's all. What are you going to do about it, sir?
Well, let me ask you this, because I know we're running out of time, and we got to get Keith back on this thing, too. But there's no sense crying about spilled milk. It's over. The Republicans aren't going to contend it. They're not going to challenge vote fraud. They're not going to challenge these states without voter photo ID law. What could they do even if they wanted to? But what are the pros now? How are conservatives and constitutionalists better off with Obama in office? Because that's the reality.
Well, when a conservative or so-called or supposed conservative gets into office, you know what? The American people, the moral people of America seem to go to sleep. And they think, thank heavens, we dodged that bullet. We got everything fine. And they really do nothing. But whenever an absolute, you know what, break the bank liberal or I would say communist in this case, or socialist gets in office, then you know what? They're all up in arms to stop him at every turn. So the only hope that we have now is that, hey, the real people in America, the conservative base, they will all simply say this. We will fight him all 4 years long. And if that happens, you know what? We may stop more than we would under a so-called conservative.
Fast and furious, Sam Bushman. He's only on for a segment tonight, but he made every second count. Keith Alexander and I, it's back to us when we come back. Thank you so much, Sam. And folks, get more info about Sam's show at LibertyRoundtable.com. You liked his interview tonight, you get 5 days of it at LibertyRoundtable.com every week.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
When the truth is found to be. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, you just heard from the great Sam Bushman. Again, his website for his radio show, Monday through Friday, libertyroundtable.com. Check it out. Coming up later this hour, Sam Dixon will be on with us once again to offer his assessment of the election. And then in the third hour, George Wallace Jr. And I'll tell you, Keith, and I'm sure you feel the same way, his father was certainly a hero of mine. I actually bought a shirt as a teenager that said, "Death is no excuse, George Wallace for President 2000. All right, we got a clip we're going to play, but before we get to the clip, Keith wants to offer a quick commentary on Sam's comments.
Well, when you get George Wallace Jr. on, say, you need to ask your daddy, where were you when we needed you? You know, that's like the old grassroots song. That's, you know, if we ever needed him, we needed him in this last election. Now, about Sam's comments, first of all, I think Sam is absolutely on target. If Obama had come out on the short end of the vote, I guarantee you we would be litigating this thing into next year. They would be lawyered up, and they were lawyered up to the max. They don't take things with good grace in the way that the Republicans do. And see, dealing with people who are liberals, you abuse yourself when you put yourself at a disadvantage tactically by not using the same tactics that they do. That's why, for example, we need to have a sense of white racial solidarity, and we need to be racial partisans in the voting booth, just like all of our adversaries are. It's an odd type of white supremacy that says, you know, we're better than that. We're better than these Asian people or these black people or these Hispanic people. We don't need to have a sense of racial partisanship or a sense of racial solidarity. Yes, we do. We're just like everybody else. We're the white egalitarians. Now, the other thing about Sam's comment that I want to point on, I think he's absolutely right. Romney was chosen because he was the least inspiring candidate they could have. Even Charles Krauthammer said recently that they needed to get someone who would animate and energize white people to come out. If we could have raised the percentage of whites that voted for a particular Republican candidate from 59%, what Romney had, to 65%, we would have had a 49-1 state wipeout in favor of the Republican. That's where the key is. See, what people don't understand is even with these changing demographics, the white demographic dwarfs every other demographic category. We are 62-64% of the population, 79% of the electorate, and 89% of the votes cast for a Republican. When will these people wake up out of their trance?
That being said, Jared Taylor was someone I wanted to have on the show tonight and would have asked to come on the show tonight if it weren't for the fact that in a succinct 5-minute video, he summed it up and said it all. The 2012 election, what it means for whites. We're going to listen to Jared's commentary now, and then I'm going to turn it over to Keith for a critique.
Hello, I'm Jared Taylor with American Renaissance. Americans have gone to the polls, and we now know who our rulers are. As always happens when a Democrat becomes president, whites didn't get the man they wanted. Mr. Romney got a near record percentage of the white vote, 59%, but that wasn't enough to offset the overwhelming non-white vote for Mr. Obama. The white percentage of the total electorate goes down every year. 59% of the white vote would have produced a Republican landslide in 1980, back when whites were 88% of the electorate. But it wasn't enough for Mr. Romney now that whites are just 72% of the electorate. In all of American history, no presidential candidate ever got as high a percentage of the white vote as Mr. Romney did and still failed to win the election. The reason, of course, is because non-white support for the non-white candidate was overwhelming. 93% of blacks voted for Mr. Obama, 71% of Hispanics, and 72% of Asians also voted for Mr. Obama. If whites had voted for the white candidate at anything like the percentages at which non-whites voted for the non-white candidate, the results would have been completely different. In fact, if Romney had won just 2 or 3% more of the white vote, say 61, 62%, he could have won. There are messages here for both whites and for the Republican Party. For whites, the lesson is that non-whites vote so overwhelmingly for a non-white Democratic candidate that unless whites are prepared to back their candidate in the same overwhelming way, as a group, their preferences just don't matter anymore. This will only get worse, as non-white immigration and high non-white birth rates mean that the white percentage of the electorate just keeps falling. And as non-whites and immigrants get more power at the national level, they'll do two things. First, they will grant amnesty to illegal immigrants and also let in more legal non-white immigrants. That will speed the decline of the percentage of whites. Second, they will make government even bigger. They will slap ever higher taxes on the upper and middle classes, which are still mainly white, and they will give ever larger handouts to the poor who are disproportionately non-white. Basically, what they'll do is take money from whites and give it to non-whites. This means white taxpayers will feel even more pinched than they do today and will have even fewer children, while the non-white poor will have more children. And this cycle will continue. As non-whites get more power, they will push more policies that increase their numbers at the expense of whites, meaning yet more power for non-whites and yet more policies that promote their interests. And what about the Republican Party? Unless Mr. Obama sends the country into a vicious slump that he can't possibly blame on George Bush, there will be no more Republican presidents. It's finished for them. they would have another chance, or two, or maybe three, if they recognized they are the party of white people, and if they worked plainly for the interests of whites. In this last election, which would it have been easier for the Republicans? To increase the white vote by, say, 3%, or increase their non-white vote by 8%, which is what they would have had to do to get the same effect? But Republicans would rather die than admit that they are the party of white people. And so that's what they'll do. They will die. They will think that they have to appeal to non-whites, and that means they will support amnesty for illegals. But that won't make Hispanics love them. It will only make the electorate even more heavily Democratic. Republicans will try to attract blacks, but the only way they could ever do that is by becoming the party of big government and more handouts. That is to say, by becoming more Democrat than the Democrats. It will get so bad that whites, who are the natural supporters of the Republicans, will become so disgusted with them, they will give up on them. And that means death will come even sooner for the GOP. For anyone with his eyes open, the election results are clear. The Republicans are finished as a national party, and whites are being relentlessly dispossessed. Well, what do we do about all this? That will be the subject of another video.
Well, folks, I feel as though Keith and I have done a very good job over the course of the first hour and a half of tonight's show, breaking down the election. I think Jared Taylor did it in 5 minutes. What a great job, Jared Taylor, the one and only. We got to take a break, and when we come back, Sam Dixon's going to join us, and more opinion from Keith and I as well. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain. or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the Political Cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
It has been a furious and fast-paced evening as we continue to offer to you our post-election analysis. Keith Alexander and I have been with you for the full 2 hours. You've also heard from Sam Bushman, owner of Liberty News Radio Network, Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance. I'm literally sweating here in the studio. It's been so frantic. And now, before George Wallace Jr. comes on, we have Sam Dixon, my very good friend, author, speaker, and attorney, and more. Sam, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back. My compliments to you and all your volunteers. What a fantastic story yours is.
It's a Spartan's effort here, I'll tell you what. But and thank you for the compliment. Certainly, you've been a mentor of mine for many years now. I would ask you, Sam, just in general, your take on what we all saw on Tuesday night, and we'll go from there.
Well, I suspect that my take is the same as yours and Keith and Jared and everybody else, that we see the ratchet effect of demographics, that very soon the Republicans will not be able to win any election. And my own feeling is that my own expectation is that the Republicans will soon start losing the U.S. Senate in a big way, especially if there is an amnesty, which I think is almost certain to be one, because the Republicans win most of their Senate seats in the West and that area by a very small margins, you know, 53, 47, with an amnesty. There will be immediately millions of Democratic voters, and these seats will flip. But to me, the most significant thing, you know, we can't control what other racial groups do, and we can't control what the Republican Party does, which is as opposed to us as the Democratic Party is. But the most distressing thing to me was really the story of Herman Cain and the Tea Party. That's what we could control. And the fact that there are so many European Americans, the founding stock and related groups who want to go and vote for this affirmative action guy, you know, because he's black. Yeah, they want to be absolved from the dreaded accusation of being a racist, which you and I know is just a semantic tool anyway. But until white people unashamedly seek their own legitimate self-interest and don't turn to people of other race for leadership, we are really at a tremendous disadvantage. And to me, that is the most distressing thing of the whole political process this time, has been the success of Herman Cain and the pattern that we saw in Tea Parties of a virtually all-white audience and two-thirds of the speakers being black and getting rapturous applause from the audiences. Those are desperate. I had to have a black. That's my take. What do you think of that?
I think it's basically, this is Keith, by the way, Sam. I agree with everything you've said, and I think what has happened is that apparently the mainstream conservative whites think they need to have their ideas validated by some non-white person or else their ideas have no validity. And, mm-hmm. There was a breakdown that Jared went into in his presentation, and James and I alluded to it as well. Jews voted 69% for the Democrat. Blacks voted 93%, and we suspect that was low for the person of their race that was running. Hispanics voted 71% for the non-white candidate. Asians voted a little bit less than that. If whites could just improve their percentage of the electorate voting for the white candidate. For example, if whites had turned out 65% of the white voters voting for the white candidate in the last election, it would have been probably a 49-1 landslide, 49 states to one landslide, like it was when Ronald Reagan ran in 1984 and when Richard Nixon ran in 72. But see, it to me, it seems like an odd inverted type of white supremacy. You know, whites are better than all these other groups. We don't have to be racial partisans. We don't have to have a sense of racial solidarity. And I think when you look at the comments by people like Bill O'Reilly and Charles Krauthammer, that even it's finally the light bulb is beginning to turn on over the heads of some of these mainstream conservatives that, yes, we do need to have a sense of racial solidarity. We need to have the same weapons to fight with that everybody else does.
Well, what if they had turned out and voted for Romney?
Exactly, exactly.
Romney is against us. And, you know, he's for an amnesty. Romney spoke to Hispanic groups and expressed his regret that he wasn't a Hispanic. He's ashamed to be a WASP.
Right.
And he really does represent a rootless, plutocratic, globalist element of our society. There's almost no connection between Romney and America. You know, to him, it's simply a way to make money. As we saw in the horrible Republican convention, as speaker after speaker got up and gave their vision of America, which went like this. You know, I got a scholarship. I went to college. I got my business degree. I bought a laundromat. I souped the laundromat up and put in a coffee vending machine. And I jumped the profits 100%. And then I bought 3 laundromats, and now I've got 150 laundromats, and I'm worth $20 million, and that's what America's all about. Well, if that's all that America's about, count us out. You know, money is not the alpha and omega of life. And a nation is a culture and a race and a literature and a history. It's a family. It's a community. Romney doesn't feel any of that, and it was obvious to white working people that he feels absolutely nothing for them whatsoever. And, the Democrats were right about paying capital, only they would do the exact same thing. And so who cares if the whites went out and voted for Romney? In some respects, it would have been worse to have Romney than Obama.
Well, Sam, we've talked about that for an hour and a half. We've gone back and forth on that question. And the point you make is very well taken. But let me ask you this, with regards to the whites that voted for Obama, you know, whites who voted for Romney because they saw him perhaps as the lesser of two evils, that perhaps they suffer from Stockholm syndrome, particularly the white Southerners who voted for Romney as much as he spit on them. But the whites, particularly the young whites who voted for Obama, are borderline masochists. It's absolutely sickening. You know, I was watching, and you probably did too, the election night coverage, and I saw all of these young whites. You know, Obama's crowd at his election headquarters the night that the returns came in and they pronounced that he was going to be reelected, it was an overwhelmingly white crowd there in Chicago, mm-hmm. particularly young people, and you saw all of these young white girls just, you know, oohing and aahing and gyrating over the fact, you know, hysterically ecstatic that a man, a Marxist, who is filled with contempt and hatred towards them and their culture and their ancestors had been reelected. What do you make of that? Has the victory over our people been truly that complete?
Well, you have to figure out what whites voted for him. You know, white. Where to start? Young whites have been psychologically abused. You know, they have been abused from the time they started watching Sesame Street. And it's not a surprise. If you take a child and lock him in a closet and beat him with electrical wires and stuff, you know, he's not going to turn out to be a healthy, normal child. And that's basically what is done with white children in America in terms of entertainment, music, schooling. And our enemies know this, and they're doing it deliberately because they hate white people. They talk about fighting hate and love. No, people like Heidi Beirish live with hate 24/7. And you know, these people that are doing this, they hate these very people that are in that hall cheering Obama. We know that because they'll say things like that minority children need positive role models. Of course they do. Well, our people do too. But instead they're told, you're a racist, genocidal, that racist. And you know, they hear this from the very beginning. And you can't help, you know, there's a side of me that has some compassion for these fools. They simply are abused children. They are like an abused child. And we've allowed these people to abuse the children of the white race nationwide. And then you have other groups. You have groups like the working people. And they're desperate. I mean, they've been ground down. They've lost their pensions. They've lost their health care. They've lost their vacation. Yeah. And they don't understand. You know, and the Republicans offer nothing to them. You know, Romney offers nothing. He's totally committed to free trade. He doesn't give a damn about them. He says, well, if you lose your job, you know, you need to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and go teach yourself to rework computers. Well, not everybody can do that. You know, there are a lot of people who are simply born with intelligence such a thing. They can't be trained to do other things.
Sam, hold on right there. Hold on right there. Keith Alexander is next up with a question for you, but we got to take a commercial break before we get to that point. Stay tuned, everybody. Sam Dixon with us right after these words.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well. Or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur. Or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up three or four times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to cardioprim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, folks, we have one more segment with Sam Dixon coming up in during the third hour. George Wallace Jr. Where's Wallace when you need him? Okay, Keith, over to you. We've got. I know you've got. You're loaded for Sam.
Sam, I was intrigued with your comments about the different reactions the whites vote for Obama who have been brainwashed into self-hatred, and then the Republicans who voted for Romney and who apparently represent the mainstream or the elite cadre of opinion in the Republican Party. And it reminded me of Forrest Gump's comment, you know, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Well, we have a box of poison chocolates that's been offered to us by the left, by the cultural Marxists. Their preferred dainty or delicacy is self-hatred, racial self-hatred, which they've apparently been able to sell to the younger generation and to women more than they have to white males. For the white males, they have another couple of chocolate delicacies. The first one, you were talking about the guys that were speaking at the Republican convention about how they emigrated to America, or their father did, and they pulled themselves up by the bootstraps, and they bought a laundromat, and then they and worked their way through college, yada, yada, yada. That is called economism. In other words, the only legitimate interest anybody, any white male can have are economic. You can't have, heaven forbid, any type of sense of racial kinship with other white people. You can't have any blood and soil attachment to your country as it was founded and as it has existed throughout most of its existence as a nation. You've just got to be dominated with thoughts of your economic well-being. And then the other thing that they sell to us, the other poisonous chocolate in the box, is individualism. In other words, all these other groups can have a sense of racial solidarity, blacks, Jews, Hispanics, Asians, whatever, but you can't. You're supposed to be an individualist. And if you'll look back at the history of Hollywood films during our lifetime, Sam, you'll see James Bond, you'll see the Clint Eastwood Man with No Name Westerns, all celebrating this kind of rugged individualism. I even remember when the U.S. Army had a recruiting campaign based on an army of one. As a theory, you know, in other words, the celebrations of individualism, economism, and then racial self-hatred. Why have we succumbed so completely to these type of machinations?
Well, we could go on for 24 hours talking about why we have succumbed, but many people have not succumbed. You know, people still overwhelmingly choose to live in white neighborhoods, despite all the propaganda. There's just lots of reasons why it happened. We had unlimited prosperity after World War II. The rest of the world was blown to smithereens. We were the only industrial shop in town. And, we were awash with money, and people could be irresponsible and vote to give things away because there was always a bigger pie to divide up. Another thing is the automobile and the television. The automobile enabled white people to escape the cities. It enabled them to drive us out into the suburbs to escape these social policies instead of having to hold our ground and deal with them.
Well, you know,
so it has
Sam,
generations of whites to avoid facing the issue, but that's coming to an end. You know, the gas prices will go to $10 a gallon, and whites will no longer be able to move one more expressway exit up the interstate.
You're absolutely right on that, Sam. But the thing is, you know, about the economism and about the individualism. You know, blacks and Hispanics
have a way to get a 7 or 8 hour a day propaganda organ into every peasant's hut. If the reformers in Great Britain during the Reformation had been able to have a television in every hut in Ireland and thatched cottage in Scotland and England, they could have pulled off the Reformation in a matter of 10 or 12 years. As it was, it took, let's say, two centuries to consolidate the Reformation.
Yeah, well, Sam, let me just say this for a second. You know, that's true, but on the other hand, blacks and Hispanics and Asians and other groups, Jews, They watched the same James Bond movies, the same spaghetti westerns we did. They didn't succumb to this abandonment of group solidarity, but we did. It's just a puzzle.
Well, they were told to be loyal to their group. You know, they weren't told that. Just watching a movie about individualism, or sort of a High Noon movie, that won't affect them the way it will us. Yeah. And you're absolutely right about individualism. I have come to be very strongly opposed to individualism. The ancient Greeks had a saying, "One man, no man," and I think that's very true. I characterize myself as a racial humanitarian. I agreed with Obama when he said that somebody that has a business didn't make it on his own. I think that's true. We all stand on the shoulders of previous generations. We are protected by cops that protect our businesses. We're supported by tax money. You know, we are a community, and whites need to cease being individualistic and become a team. And to think of themselves, they'd be happier if they were a community instead of people looking for happiness in their stock portfolio.
Sam, we're running short on time. There's a quick clip I want to play from you, or for you, I should say, and then get your reaction. It was Bill O'Reilly, and for all of his flaws, and believe me, as far as I'm concerned, he has plenty of them. He makes a pretty good observation during his election night coverage on Fox News, and here it is.
So what's your sense of the evening? I mean, you look at these exit polls, you look at the, you know,
my sense of the evening is if Mitt Romney loses in Ohio, the president is reelected.
How do you think we got to that point? I mean, President Obama's approval rating was so low, and obviously this is hypothetical. We don't know who's even winning right now, never mind who won. But how do you think it got this tight?
Because it's a changing country. The demographics are changing. It's not a traditional America anymore. And there are 50% of the voting public who want stuff. They want things. And who is going to give them things? President Obama. He knows it, and he ran on it. And whereby 20 years ago, President Obama would have been roundly defeated by an establishment candidate like Mitt Romney. The white establishment is now the minority. And the voters, many of them, feel that this economic system is stacked against them, and they want stuff. You're going to see a tremendous Hispanic vote for President Obama, overwhelming black vote for President Obama. And women will probably break President Obama's way. People feel that they are entitled to things, and which candidate between the two is going to give them things.
Bill, will you stick around for...
Okay, Sam, that was Bill O'Reilly, and as far as a talking head on Fox News goes, that was pretty extreme commentary. I mean, obviously it's weak compared to the truth, but it's pretty good for them. Let me ask you this, two-part question. First of all, your thoughts on his commentary. And secondly, would the GOP sincerely rather continue losing forever than accept who their base is and reach out to them?
All right. Taking the questions in the order that they were asked. Number one, his comments are simply obvious. But they were obvious to James Edwards 20 years ago. They were obvious to Sam Dixon in 1965, when I tried to take up petitions at the University of Georgia to stop the change in the immigration law. So I'm not impressed that Bill O'Reilly says this. I can't, if he's so stupid that he didn't see this until now, then he's too retarded for us to have any excuse for it. And if he's waited until now to say it, then why bother with him?
Good point. Good point.
The temptation of people on our side to get all excited about people like Bill O'Reilly and others, or even Patrick Cameron, and to give money to them. The people that we need to support are people like Jared Taylor and James Edwards. We need to have our own leaders and our own voice spokesmen who have been right from the beginning, who have been talking about this for decades. That's where our money and that's where our energy and our heart needs to be. Not getting excited because O'Reilly makes this statement.
And the second question, which I can't think what it is now. What was your second part?
I will tell you, and we have less than a minute to go, so you take your take on it for as much time as we have remaining. Would the GOP rather lose for the rest of eternity than embrace and accept who their base is?
Yes. Yes. Because the GOP don't think of themselves, their primary loyalty is not to the GOP. The hierarchy of the GOP, their loyalty is to the globalists, it's to Israel. They're simply part and parcel of the same people that run Barack Obama, who is not a Marxist, as you said he was. A Marxist doesn't steal from the poor and give to the rich, which is what he's done with the bailouts of the banks and the other things he's done. They're just Tweedledum and Tweedledee. And the leadership of the Republican Party does not give a damn about the Republican Party. It's merely a tool, self-aggrandizement, as sociopaths, which most of them are.
Sam Dixon, the incomparable Sam Dixon, ladies and gentlemen. Great commentary as always. Thanks for being a part of our first show since the re-election of Obama. We'll be talking to you again soon, I'm sure, my friend. All right, that's it for this hour. The third and final hour still forthcoming. George Wallace Jr., our guest. Stay tuned.